Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Oh, that's what it's like listening to this show. This is Tim's New York Giant Straight Talk, powered by my Big Blue, I can't even talk, Big Blue LLC. We're going to do it. We're going to do it once, and we're going to do it one time only.
That's what she said.
We are going to have our mock draft video. I'm not one of these guys that likes to produce content by just rehashing the same shit over and over again, like mock draft 15.9. Nope, this is going to be one. We're going to do it once. That's it. And they're going to go into the draft on Thursday. We're going to the draft party. We're going to hang out. Hope to see some people there. You won't be able to miss me. I am going to be wearing my official Nike OBB shoes. So make sure you look for that. Look, when you see people walking around, you see some kind of high tops, and you see on the back of his shoes, Nike, and on top of that, you see OBB. That's me. Come over and say hello. Want to do this video because of the fact that I'm trying to think, what's the best way to go about this draft? Because there's different options, there's different ideas, there's different ways you can speculate this. We need to continue to build a foundation. And the problem is, 2 years ago, we had 5-7, and we really didn't build the foundation like we should have. Evan Neal has not panned out. Kayvon Thibodeau has his ups, has his downs, and then he goes 6 games with only half a sack. So consistency is going to be the key from that. And some of the other building blocks that we have pieced together in the last 2 years just haven't panned out. But we have to continue to still figure out a way to build a foundation, build an organization from the ground up, and we got to figure it out and we got to do it soon because I think this may be the last year Shane is going to be at the helm, especially if this draft flames out and the other two don't work out like they should have. So the first pick in the draft, the 6th overall pick, I think the Giants want to trade up for May. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. And like I said on the stream the other day, I am doing everything in my power to try to like Drake May. Now, I don't go into, well, he's in the, you know, he's playing in North Carolina, you know, he's you know, same area that Duke is in, so you got another Duke quarterback and all blah blah, and Daniel Jones. No, that's not it. that's not even close to it. I mean, he has the talent. He has I think he has all the physical attributes. He has the size. He has the speed. He has the ability to you know, like we said before,
make all the throws on Sunday.
But the problem is he had a down season. He has his ups. He has his downs. And it's just one of these interesting things. The more you watch him, the more you see things you like and the more you see things you don't like. And I've said it before, he reminds me of more athletic Daniel Jones with a better arm. He has the same kind of issues with his ability to process plays. We don't really want to go through that again, do we? I mean, we really don't. So he may potentially drop to 6, depending on how the cards shake out. I don't think Arizona or the Chargers are going to trade their picks. So I think there's a good possibility that he'll be sitting there at 6. But I just keep coming back to this one name, though, at 6, and a guy that just would make sense to the Giants. And I keep hearing you can't take him at 6, but you could take him at 11. And I always get confused because what if you trade 11 and they're a team that needs a quarterback? That, of course, is going to be Michael Penix Jr. I got to take Penix at 6. I got to throw caution to the wind. I got to go after the most pro-ready quarterback outside of Caleb Williams and take Penix at 6. Just plain and simple. If you could take him at 11, you could take him 5 spots earlier at 6. Ernie, of course, he showed us the way with Eli Manning. We've gone through the story ad nauseum when he was a general manager, you know, the rookie general manager with the Baltimore team, Baltimore Colts back in 83, and he had the first overall pick, and Elway said, I'm not coming there. And they traded the pick away against his better judgment because, you know, Elway said, I'm going to go play for the Yankees. That was a big smokescreen. So ownership for the Colts blinked, and of course, he always said, if I ever had the opportunity to go out and get my quarterback again, I'm going to move heaven and earth to do it. And he did that with Eli Manning. And I keep just looking at Penix. People are going to say, Tim, how can you disavow or not look at the two knee injuries? Well, the two knee injuries were the last one was 2 years ago. And you talk about the fact that you want to run it back with Daniel Jones for another 2 years, but Daniel Jones has 2 neck injuries and a knee injury in 3 years. So do you really want to, I mean, is he not injury prone now? And we have Michael Penix, who has played the last 2 years without an injury, got his knee folded back in that championship game and still got up and kept playing. 4,903 yards, 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3 scoring touchdowns as well. He's a guy that has that arm. He has that ability. He can hit the nice touch pass. He can hit this pass along the sideline. He can go over the back shoulder. He completed 65% of his passes. People will talk about, well, in the latter half of the season, he showed some accuracy issues when he was rushed. Well, who doesn't? And he still completed 65% of his passes. I think the biggest thing that he's going to need to look at or improve on to help with his accuracy is going to be his mechanics. He's going to have to be more consistent with his mechanics and his footwork. And he's going to need to develop that. You got yourself a good coach. You got yourself a good head coach, allegedly, who knows how to work with quarterbacks. You got an offensive coordinator going down to year 3, and hope you have a good quarterback coach, because I have a feeling, like I said, if you work on this kid's mechanics, you work on his ability to figure out his footwork and his foot placement, you are going to have something special. And I love it, because all of a sudden, ever since the championship game, people, NFL, some, not even NFL teams, it's more people on content creators. They're like, well, he's got vision problems. He doesn't see the field well. Well, no, actually, he saw the field pretty well in that championship game. He just missed 3 open guys. He sent the throws to him. He just missed them. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be someone that's got decision-making issues, because he went through his reads. He just missed. And that happens. You're going to have those games where anyone that's played competitive, we're going to have those games, and they will tell you that you are going to hit guys wide open, and then sometimes you're just going to miss. But like I said, if you got a guy with he's got a strong arm. He protects the football. Look at his turnover ratio the last 2 seasons. And he does something that our quarterback doesn't do now. He throws wide receivers open. I'm going to say that slow for the people in the back. He throws wide receivers open. And that's what you need to do in this league. He's got good to great ball placement at times. He really does. He shows the ability to throw the timing pass, throw the timing pattern. People talk about the fact that, well, he doesn't run. Yeah, we saw him run at his pro day. Pretty good, pretty quick. He doesn't run because he's a pocket passer. He runs when he needs to. He runs out of necessity. Not out of fear or design. He runs out of necessity, because I'm going to say it slowly again for the people in the back. He's a pocket passer. You have to look at that ability. He understands how to climb the ladder in the pocket. He understands how to move side to side. He understands how to avoid the rush. He gets that. And I love the fact that he's got a lot of experience coming out of college. He's played a lot in college. Now, sometimes that's a detriment, because you look at the likes of Kenny Pickett. We talked about Kenny Pickett when he came out of the draft. I said, I didn't like Kenny Pickett. He was a 5-year starter, and he looked like he peaked his last year in college. I think that's what he was going to be, but minus some of that going into the pros. This is a guy, though, that if you watch him play, he has progressed. He has grown. And I think that's what's going to be what you need. You need a guy to come into this building. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is not a hard worker, but evidently everyone says Penix is a hard worker. He's a hard worker and he is a leader. You need someone to come in here and set the pace. You need someone to come in there. You need someone to be in the weight room. You need someone to be on these guys. You need a rookie to come in here and have a little bit more development in regards to having leadership qualities. And some people say, well, Tim, that's J.J. McCarthy. The only problem is J.J. McCarthy is not as physically gifted as Michael Penix Jr. is. First thing you're also going to tell me is, well, some coaches don't like left-handed quarterbacks. Well, Steve Young was a pretty good lefty. He was a pretty good lefty. And then people, like I said, everyone's going to talk about the injury history. So the last couple of years, he's been injury-free. That doesn't count anymore. I would like to see, like I said, him be more consistent with his footwork, him to be a little bit more consistent with his mechanics. Understand that he's going to have to see the entire field. He goes through his reads and he goes through them quickly. He goes through his progressions, and he's just going to have to understand he's going to be on a team that honestly, is not going to be very good offensive line wise, but he is going to have to understand he is going to have to use his athleticism, which he does have, to avoid the rush. Kind of like a Tommy DeVito, kind of like a Tyrod Taylor, and he can do it. I think he can easily do it. Now, if you're sitting there going to go Penix 1, You got to figure out who you're going to go to. Here's the problem with the second round. We've talked about this before. Free agency is kind of a precursor to the draft. You can tell by the free agent market what NFL teams think is the strong suit in the draft. And one of the two strong suits in this draft are going to be wide receivers and cornerbacks. And the Giants need both. The wide receiver market in this year, you saw a lot of big names get moved. And you see a lot of good names still on the cornerback positions in free agency. Why? Because you know you can get a guy. You know you can get a guy in this draft. Now, I'm still torn who the Giants should go with in the second round. I've been trying to think about this over and over again. And I keep thinking, you know, you have to get a corner and you have to get a wide receiver. And it's interesting because I think you could probably flip-flop these two guys. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. I think either of them could be had in the second or the third. If I'm going to go with that second round pick, I got a new quarterback, I got to get him a target. And I got to get him a big target. I don't want a kid that's got this blazing speed. I don't want a kid that can turn all the, you know, turns the clocks and everyone looks at him, ooh, I need a guy that can play. That's why I'm going Keenan Coleman, Florida State wide receiver, 6'3", 213 pounds. Yeah, people are going to say, well, yeah, he ran a bad 40 time. Well, so did Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice could get timed with a sundial. That's how bad his 40 time was. Now, people are going to look at this and say, Tim, well, you know, he came over from Michigan State. He only had 50 catches for 559 yards. You know, he didn't put up those huge numbers at Florida State, but this kid's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the athleticism. I think he's got game speed. I don't think he's got straight line speed. I think he's got game speed. He's got good size, quickness, and athleticism. He is Kenny G in regards to going up and get the ball, but he is a young version of Kenny G. He is a guy that you can just see he's got something with him. If you go back to 2023 and the career game that he had in the beginning, excuse me, my monitor's going crazy. At the beginning of 2023 versus LSU, he ate the lunch of Carson, the Wake Forest quarterback. What did I say? LSU? I'm getting my games all confused. He had the 9 catches, 122 yards, and 3 touchdowns versus LSU. He also got the kid against Wake Forest against his matchup. He ate his lunch as well. People are going to point out the fact that he's slow and he's going to have an issue gaining separation. I don't think so because I think he's going to use his size. I think he's going to use his lateral quickness. You know, the biggest problem about Jalen Hyatt was, besides the fact that he only caught 50% of the passes thrown his way and the wide receiver ignored him, he had a problem getting knocked off his routes off the line. That's not going to happen with Keenan Coleman. Bigger corners are not going to be using their physicality against him. He's going to create mismatch. He's a very big, athletic wideout. And you know what he reminds of? He reminds me of Akeem Nicks. He's willing to go across the middle, and he's got those strong-ass Plaxico Burress hands. He's got those bear mitts. You want to talk about a guy that's going to be dangerous on the 50-50 pass and is going to be a weapon within the red zone? This is it. This is it. This is the guy. I like to use that old word, gritty. He's a gritty guy. He's a grinder. He's an old-school guy with good technique, good running ability, good route running ability, and he's physical. And I think he can contribute immediately. And the biggest issues I think people have with him is the fact that he's not a burner. He's not a guy that's going to light you on fire. You know, they're going to say he lacks the deep speed. I heard the same thing about, I'm not saying he's Jerry Rice, but we heard the same thing about Jerry Rice. And then the other thing is always, well, he's going to have separation issues. With that size and that frame, that ability, he is going to push certain corners around. And if you want to look at it, I think in the division, especially with Philadelphia, I think he can go after those guys. And I think he can do something special against, you know, the corners of Philly. You get your physical, your big physical wide receiver. And then you look around and you go, okay, round 3, what are we going to do? That's why I think these guys can be interchangeable. I got to go corner. I have to go corner. Because of the fact that I have Deontay Banks, then I have Darnay Holmes, Cordell Flott in the slot, and then a host of others. I need a safety too, because I'm not happy with the safety room, but I need a safety. But I also need a corner more, and I need a guy that might be able to step in right away and play. I always forget about Trey Hawkins. I think everyone forgets about Trey Hawkins. And I have to look at this, and I got to look at it from the perspective that this guy may have some physical deficiencies, but I think he can make it up with it because he's a high-end athlete. And that's going to be, I'm going to go with Max Milton, cornerback out of Rutgers, 5'11", 187 pounds, ran a 4.39, had 32 tackles last year, 3 interceptions, 6 pass breakups. I mean, he had a great showing at the NFL Combine. I mean, he showed that he is an athlete. He showed that he has an upside. He showed that he can develop into a starter. And I think these are the type of guys athletically you need to look at. You need guys that have high upside, not only in regards to their ability to play, but also in regards to them being good athletes. Now, the problem is he had a good season, but he played on not a great Rutgers team. Same thing in 2022. He was on a bad Rutgers team. The problem I see is he had 187 pounds. I like to see him bulk up a little. I like to see him get around 205 without losing some of his quickness and a lot of his speed. He's a guy, though, like I said, he's a guy that is extremely fast. And with that type of, he's got that acceleration. And one of the things I love about when you have that type of speed and that type of acceleration, if you give up a step to the wide receiver off the line, if you get beat, he has makeup speed. He has the ability to recover. And he's got those quick feet. So I don't think too many people are going to get around him. Now, like I said, he may have some issues with the guys that are a little bit more physical. But I think that's, like I said, I think he can use his quickness. I think he can use his athleticism. I think he's a guy that can play zone coverage. I think he's a guy that can play a press cover corner. I think he's a guy that can play off man coverage as well. Because if it's all about his athleticism. I always love it because you always use that phrase. He's got loose hips. Loose hips sink ships. He can make the, he can turn on, like you said, he can stop on a dime and give you 9 cents change. And one of the things I like about him, because I watch a lot of Rutgers games, he's not afraid. He's a fighter. He's a guy that's not going to go down with a fight without a fight. He doesn't give up on plays. And that's what I really like about him. He doesn't give up on plays. You saw that in school. And it's one of those things. It's one of those things that you can't teach. When I played, I always talked about this. I was not the most gifted athletically whatsoever at all. I always said there was only 2 things that stopped me from going pro. That was knee injuries and lack of talent. But one thing that would always be said about me is I never gave up on a play. And this kid's the same way. He doesn't back down. He doesn't stop. He just keeps coming after you. I always think of the Apollo Creed scene in Rocky II when Apollo asks Duke, he says, "What, why don't you want this fight? What are you afraid of?" And Duke looks at him and goes, "Honest." And Apollo's like, "Yeah." And Duke goes, "I saw you beat that man like I saw no man ever get beat before. And he kept coming after you." That reminds me of Max Milton. On the deficiency size, he's short, short people. He's 5'11". What's wrong with 5'11"? He's probably more like 5'10", 5'9". But what's wrong with that? He needs to bulk up, get up to 205. He may in the beginning be a handicap in the red zone because of the fact I think the teams are going to pick on him. But what rookie corner doesn't get picked on before? I've said this before. The hardest position to play as a rookie outside of quarterback is cornerback because a lot of times you are out on an island and you are exposed. Just ask poor Trey Hawkins and you get picked on by especially veteran quarterbacks. And I think that potentially could happen to Max. But like I said, he's a fighter, guys. He's a fighter. And that's what we need on this team. We need talent, athleticism, and guys that don't quit. And I think you got that in Penix, Coleman, and Melton. Oh, the draft's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you tune in for that. The Big Dommer is going to be running the draft stream with R0B, James Williams, Don P. We're going to have, you could call in so you can dial in or whatever. So we're going to give out the link. So a lot of people have asked if they can come on and speak their 2 cents. So you can make sure you do that as well. I'm going to talk to Dom about this all tomorrow to have that all situated up. I'll be calling the draft from the Giants draft party. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Who knows? We may have a pre-draft video on Thursday, lunchtime, live stream. I don't know. Cause I got to leave here pretty early. Cause I got to get to the hotel. Cause I got to stay overnight because this is going to be a long evening. And as always, don't forget to like, Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.